Chris Moore.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Hi there, and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour Eastern Time on the radio program. I know you're listening on radio.com all across the country. I was down in the South last week, and I drove back, and I put radio.com on, and I punched up WFAN, and clean as a whistle. Not that a whistle is, as far as I know, that clean, but it's a saying, and people buy it. So why think about things? Just live them. Anyway, we appreciate you being here. We'll take your phone calls later in the hour at 877-337-6666. We do have Matt Casey and Pete Hoffman on the other side of the glass. We do have Lori Rubinson coming in at 10. And we're lucky enough right now to have Anthony McCarron, SNY, join us to talk a little baseball. Mr. McCarron, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
I can't complain, Anthony. Why would I at a point like this? Beautiful weekend is upon us. Both local baseball teams were able to win today. So not all bad out there in the world of sports.
Yeah, all good stuff.
All good stuff.
The locals.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the trade deadline first, just to get that out of the way, 17 days away. We're looking at both teams trying to make decisions regarding their futures, one with a near future in mind, the other one maybe with more of a long-term view, perhaps. What do you expect out of these two teams? And in general, what do you expect from the deadline, where there doesn't seem to be a lot of starting pitching anyway available?
Yeah, but I think that's, we'll start with the Yanks. I think that's, going to be the area that they're going to look at and probably need to look at. Their starters have actually been pitching pretty well lately, and they've got some potential top-of-the-rotation arm types in the rotation already. If you're looking forward to October, you're thinking about guys who would really give you big performances there. Tanaka comes to mind. James Paxton has the stuff. He's been a little inconsistent at times this year. I love Domingo Herman. I don't know if he profiles to that yet, but his stuff is sick a lot of the time. So I do think they're going to add. Cashman has been out there talking about it, certainly, and I think they've got the fodder to use in the farm system to get somebody good if, like you were saying, if there's somebody out there like that. And, you hear the usual names. The guy who pitched against them today, Stroman, is one, and he's, he's a good young pitcher who, I remember I was at the WBC when he won the championship game for Team USA. Stroman, to me, is a guy who seizes the moment and loves that spotlight. And that speaks well of him and well of his possibilities in a Yankee uniform. So it'd be great if they went out and made a deal for him.
You would think, too, that Brian Cashman will only make a deal that he thinks makes them better. In other words, no sideways or depth or, we'll just get this guy for insurance. I don't see him doing that. I think that if he makes a deal here, because he likes the team he has so much, that it's going to have to be something that he really likes. So, I've been telling the audience that I believe they're not so much worried about what they pay as what they get. They just want to make sure that if they're, if they're shopping at Nordstrom, they're getting a Nordstrom product. They're getting a real product and not a Walmart product at Nordstrom price. So I'm just looking at that as being Cashman's real goal here, is to either make them better or not do anything.
Right. He's never been kind of a move for show kind of guy. I know the Sonny Gray deal has been roundly panned in this town. Sonny Gray, all-star with the Reds this year, by the way. But that was a deal that the Yankees really felt great about at the time. It didn't work out here. Yes, that's true. But that was a deal that was going to make them better at the time and going forward too. That's the kind of deal he wants to make this time as well, and rightfully so, if you're going to give up any sort of significant assets from the minor league system. And the Yankees, who have produced a lot of good young players in recent years, and we're seeing them star on a daily basis with the big club, they've still got some of those guys in the minors as well, but it's not, they don't want to sacrifice them for a placeholder or a mini upgrade. I think they want somebody good who maybe even has some control.
As we look at the Mets, I've been critical of them because I don't know that they understand they got to put that puzzle together and get pieces that fit each other. Is that a fair criticism in your mind?
Yeah, I do. I do believe that's fair because, look, they've Their roster is kind of weird. They've got some really, really great pieces in there. Jeff McNeil, Pete Alonso, obviously, Michael Conforto. I'm not giving up on him. I still think he is a star in the making. I know some people quibble with the season that he's having so far. Fair criticism. And obviously, the high-level starters in DeGrom and that sort of thing. They've got some assets there. But, their defense is horrendous. The bullpen is a mess. Some of the starters haven't pitched up to their capabilities. And they seem to always want to put a guy in a position on the field that he doesn't play normally. So, in other words, not only do you trade for a second baseman and then sign Jed Lowry to play somewhere in the infield, when you have Jeff McNeil, and you might as well find out if Jeff McNeil's half year last year was the real deal, and oh my goodness, it looks like the real deal right now, the way this guy is raking. They've got to find guys to bump him around, and now he's a sometime outfielder. That's not really where he should be, but the Mets always seem to have these things swirling around them, and it's not a roster that fits together well. You're right about that.
And how do they fix it? I mean, and if you're Brody, you're trying to put together a priority list of how we start to make our roster more competitive with the Atlantas of the world in their division. Where do you think they need to start? People have talked about the defensive liability at catcher and the lack of leadership and obviously center field and what Rosario's role is if he's not the defensive player they originally thought he was. Where would you start if you were Brody Van Wagenen in trying to put this puzzle together where it makes more sense?
Well, here's the big challenge for him, I think, because they do have so many guys who make you optimistic about them. You don't look at them as a total teardown, tank for 3 years, and hope you turn into the Astros-type club. At least I don't think that they look at themselves that way. Maybe they should, but it doesn't seem to be the direction they're going in right now, which means that they'll probably, at the deadline, trade their guys who are the Todd Fraziers, the Zach Wheelers of the world, who are coming, they're expiring, on expiring contracts, and they'll seek to get some assets that way. The problem with that is, how much are you resetting the roster in that way? They don't have starting pitching to come out of the minor leagues except for Anthony Kay, who's a good prospect, struggled at AAA so far, but maybe he has an impact on the roster next year. But it's not like they've got all these, it's not like they can trade Wheeler, Syndergaard, and then be ready for 2020 because they don't have any pitchers then. There's nobody ready other than Anthony Kay, who might not be absolutely ready to come in and take that. So there's a philosophy that they have to sort of zero in on, to me anyway, whether they're going to go to a big rebuild or they're going to try to reload again. And they tried to reload and they made some poor decisions that haven't worked so far, so you see the risks there. I think they ought to use the end of this season. They're not mathematically eliminated, but it doesn't look good, right? They're closer to the Marlins, or they're at the same distance from the Marlins, the worst team in the league, as they are to a wild card berth. So do you look at the second half now as a way to see if Amed Rosario could be the answer in center field because maybe he's not at short? Do you look at Nito at catcher because, your two best starting pitchers pitch much better with him behind the plate than they do with Wilson Ramos as the catcher? These are the kind of decisions they have to make. Do you trade Todd Frazier and let J.D. Davis play third and see if he can overcome his obvious fielding difficulties at the position? Because it looks like he can hit a little bit, and you may have something there. So they've got a lot going on. I feel like some fans think, oh, that season's over. They're just playing out the string. But there are big questions that they have to answer, and we'll see how they do it.
Yeah, and they've got a clear spot. I think the Frazier question you asked is one that you answer positively. You trade Frazier and make space there without question if you're the Mets in the season that they're in right now.
Right. Not that Frazier has played poorly because he's actually been one of their better players recently.
Yeah, he's fine on a better team. He's fine. You're absolutely right about that. What do they do with Dom Smith?
Well, look, Dom Smith is a hitter, right? I mean, he's a hitter.
It would appear that way.
Yeah. I mean, for all the guff that Dom Smith has taken over the years, He's got some bat talent, as they say. And, do you just give him the left field job and play him as much as possible out there? Because first base, you look like you've got first base settled for the next 10 years or maybe more with one of the great players potentially in franchise history in Pete Alonso. So Dom is not going to get any playing time there. Can he play the outfield? Yeah, let's find out. Let's give him as many reps as possible out there and see if he can be your guy there. And, you know, maybe trade him in the offseason then, or you trade one of the other outfielders in the offseason and get something back for them and start retooling a little bit.
Anthony McCarron joining us. Chris Moore with you on The Fan as we talk baseball, Yanks, Mets in particular, as we head toward the trading deadline and two very different seasons ahead for these two teams right now, one near the top, one near the bottom. As you keep your faith in Conforto, I'm wondering why. What about Michael Conforto makes you think, is it just the injury that you think it's taking longer for him to come back from and that he can re-find it? Why are you still a Conforto believer?
Well, I was convinced he was going to have a big year this year. And, you know, the concussion obviously has impeded him a little bit. I wonder what the lingering effects from it are, if there are any. I went on SNY one night and predicted he'd have a 950 OPS this year. He's a little shy. Look, I mean, I thought, you know, further removed from, you know, his other injury issues, that he would blossom a little bit more. I'm in love with the swing. I realize that the sort of pureness of his swing has maybe bamboozled me a little bit. But I still think that this guy, if he can stay healthy, is a major contributor. I don't look at him as a trade piece for them right now because, you know, he's hit a few home runs this year, so the power is there. You know, he's hitting about 245 or whatever it is, but it's not great. And you know, he hasn't done what he can do and what he should be doing. So I don't think trading him is wise because you know it's the same way.
No, it's kind of the opposite. Yeah, it's the opposite of Dom Smith, where you might be trading at his high value for Dom Smith. A lot of teams might be interested right now. You probably get less back for Conforto than he's worth because he's playing poorly compared to what you'd expect from him. So you're right.
Exactly.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a reason why I know he drives fans nuts, because he's a little streaky. And, you know, when he goes nuts like he did last year in the second half, then you go, oh, Conforto. But now when he's had his ups and downs this year, and you know, the homer the other night was the first one in a while, you say, oh, what's he doing? He's not going to be the guy he's going to be. So the streakiness kind of gets you, to not love him. I look at that pure, beautiful swing. I've had scouts raving to me about that swing since the guy was in playing for the Brooklyn Cyclones. So I still have faith in him.
And, you know, the weakness of center field and some other positions for them offensively really makes Conforto so critical to them. I said on the air earlier, and I believe it. You know, it's fine to think the Mets would be better, and, you know, if their bullpen was better, and there are certain things that definitely are true. But I don't know how they survive Conforto being a below-average player, because they don't have that kind of depth. They need Michael Conforto to be a very good player. Maybe not great, but they need him to be a very good player. They're not likely to be winners if Michael Conforto is an average to below-average player. They're just not.
Yeah, you're right. They don't have enough weapons for that. And, you know, he has got to be one of their biggest guys in that lineup. And, you know, obviously Alonso and McNeil have been taking up most of the talk about the offense there. And you need Conforto to get into that conversation too, where you're saying, like, look at this three, you know, this 1-2-3 punch that the Mets have. And it hasn't happened this year.
Do you think Van Wagenen and Callaway are safe for a while, or how do you look at that?
Well, I mean, I think the GM is safe for a while, because, I mean, you know, let's be fair to him. You might not like some of his moves this year, and you know, obviously that Diaz Cano trade, if it continues, Cano's obviously hitting better than he has been, you know, recently. But I mean, if that continues to be a flop, it also hurts the Mets long term, because they traded away two of their very best prospects in the deal too. So there's some future pain to be felt from that too. But he hasn't had that much of an opportunity. He's had one off season to do things, and you know, I don't think you can hire a GM and then say, you know, after a disappointing, you know, time where your team is 10 games under 500, you know, his biggest fault probably was the come get us line, because he's the only one who I think thought that might be true.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't think that the Mets were the odds on favorite in that division. I mean, the Braves won the division by 8 games last year, and you could maybe even say that the Nationals and the Phillies going into the year anyway were better than they were. And I'm talking about the Braves, not the Mets in this case. The Mets were always, to me, the fourth team in the division. I predicted on SMY that they would win 85 games. I'm going to be wrong. And I get it, but I think that was Brody's error. And I thought he had a good line the other day when he sort of owned up to it. So I think he's safe. Mickey, I mean, I know there's been a lot of reporting out there that he's going to survive the year. I mean, if he has another debacle, like the thing with the reporter, does he survive that? I can't imagine he does at that point. I think he had another communication snafu on Sunday where he apparently, from what I'm reading, didn't tell some of the media that Rosario had been benched for not hustling, told the broadcast crew that was the reason, and then wouldn't own up to it after the game.
Right, said it was a scheduled day off.
Yeah, yeah, right. I mean, first of all, why is this so hard? Ahmed Rosario could probably learn a few things from having been publicly told, have it out
run
there publicly that
yeah
he's not playing for not hustling.
Yeah.
That would probably be a good lesson for him.
Yeah, well, at least I think they came to the right decision, even if they didn't own up to it the way they should have at the end of the game, and just another feather in his cap. I'm not sure he gets it. I don't know how long he lasts, but it'll be something to watch probably in the offseason. Anthony, good conversation. We appreciate it. Continued success over there. We'll talk again.
Okay, thanks for having me.
There
I
you
appreciate
go
it.
Anthony McCarron joining us.